رمضان نايتس on البيان راديو.
بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. السلام عليكم dear brothers and sisters, and welcome back to our program Ramadan Nights. I'm your host Abu Abd Rahman. On this 15th night of Ramadan, we are live from البيان راديو studios, and tonight I have the privilege and honor of having two guests with me. Our usual guests on Monday and Wednesday nights, Sheikh Khalid Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, dear Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And we have another extra honor, special guest who we bring down with us, a regular on Al Bayan Radio over the years. We invited him and alhamdulillah accepted the invitation. Sheikh Mahmoud, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It's good to have you once again. Good to see you. How's your Ramadan been?
Allah, it's been amazing. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. It is the 15th night of Ramadan, Sheikh Mahmoud. Half of Ramadan gone.
Allah al-musta'an. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept whatever has passed from Ramadan. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the strength and the privilege to witness the rest of Ramadan through actions of worship, done through sincerity and sticking to the masjid. As we see, Ramadan, subhanAllah, it flies, you know, it goes by. And as you said, Sheikh Abu Abd Rahman, it's 15th of Ramadan. Yani we haven't even felt anything yet of Ramadan. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not allow us to be from those who are humiliated.
Naam.
And those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns away from His mercy and accept our deeds.
Sheikh Khalid, the expiators, we're still going. It's part four. For those who've missed the first few parts, you can go on our YouTube channel, Ramadan Nights 2024 or 1445, and you can find them all there. Well, what are we starting with tonight?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. Just our general recap quickly in a minute or two. The reason we chose this series is because we said that one of the reasons we look so forward to Ramadan is because of the ahadith we hear of the virtue, obviously the actual virtue and bounty blessing of this blessed month. And we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man sama Ramadan, man qama Ramadan, man qama laylat al-qadr imanan wa ihtisaba, to the end of the hadith, which we're all familiar with. Whoever fasts Ramadan, whoever prays Ramadan, whoever prays the night of al-qadr, that stands the night of decree and night of power, then he will have his sins forgiven. So we said that Allah Azza wa Jal, being the most merciful, the most forgiving, He has given His slaves so many opportunities and chances, both in Ramadan and outside of Ramadan. So the one that sincerely wants forgiveness, wants mercy, that forgiveness and mercy is there literally all day, every day in or any day in the entire year. So we said that there are actions that one can do and things that people can say, statements that they can say, which the people will get forgiven, the slaves will get forgiven for. Either it could be forgiven entirely or forgiven for certain deeds that they did. We said the first one was at-tawbah, repentance, and we mentioned the virtues of that, and we spoke about the conditions and the likes. You can go back, as the Sheikh said. We then moved on to forgiveness. We then moved on to following up, yani asking forgiveness or seeking forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal, and we mentioned the slight difference between the two, even though they're closely related. Then we moved on speaking about following up an evil deed with a good deed, and then we ended last lesson with at-tawheed, where we said we were going to mention a hadith which the ulama referred to as hadith al-bitaqa, the hadith of the card, and that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily Allah will single out a man from my nation before all of creation on the day of resurrection. 99 scrolls will be unrolled before him, each scroll as far as the eye can see. And we mentioned already how every son of Adam is a sinner, one who makes mistakes and the likes. So apply this to yourself. I'm sure, wallahu a'lam, you're not like the man who killed 99 people and then 100 people in reality. And wallahu a'lam, if you know what we've done of sins and transgression amount to 99 scrolls. But look at this hadith and see the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we said regarding this point, the weight of tawheed. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 99 scrolls will be unrolled before him, each scroll as far as the eye can see. And Allah will say, do you deny any of this? Have my recording angels wronged you? He will say, no, O Lord. Allah will say, do you have any excuse? He will say, no, O Lord. Allah will say, no, rather you have a good deed with us and you will not be wrong today. So subhanAllah, this person will forget about the deed that he did. And this is a side point that sometimes we forget. You know, last year, I forgot half of what we spoke about, Sheikh, on this whole program. But Allah does not forget.
أحصاه الله ونسوه, whether that being good or bad, Allah Azza wa Jal does not forget, and Allah Azza wa Jal has recorded everything. For whether last year, the year before, before Ramadan, 10 years before, you gave in charity, you forgot that charity that you gave, the praying of the sunnah of Fajr. Some of the brothers and sisters might wake up lazy. You force yourself to pray it because you know the virtue behind it. Tayyib, you forgot all of that, what you did in the past and previous years and the likes, but Allah did not forget that. So subhanAllah, this person might forget, and Allah Azza wa Jal will say, rather you have a good deed with us and you will not be wrong today, and a card will be brought upon which is written the testimony of faith that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his slave and messenger. And then Allah will say, bring forth your scale. He will say, oh Lord, this card along with all of these scrolls, yani what's this card going to do against 99 scrolls? And Allah Azza wa Jal will say, verily you will not be wronged. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, then the scrolls will be placed upon one side of the scale and the card on the other, and the scrolls will be lifted up and the card will weigh it down. Thus, nothing is heavier on the scale than the name of Allah.
Sheikh Mahmoud, this shows the virtues of La ilaha illallah, doesn't it?
Of course, 100%. Yani, the virtue of La ilaha illallah, Tawheed. Yani, Tawheed is the backbone of the religion. If it's crooked, everything in the religion is crooked. And if it's straight, everything in the religion is straight. And it is the main element for every single action to be done that is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake and not for any other. Also, our entire life revolves around Tawheed. Yani, our life without Tawheed is nothing. Yani, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah is what we live for, and that's what we die for. That's why we eat and drink, and that's why even we have fun, enjoy our times in halal, is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And staying away from the ma'asi and staying away from the evil is also part of applying Tawheed in our lives. And Tawheed isn't only by, khalas, I've got Tawheed in my heart and I sit back and relax. Also, Tawheed requires affirmation through actions of worship, okay, through the salat and through our tasbih and through our implementing the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, without the affirmation through actions, Tawheed has no source, has no substance. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet, فَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, meaning have knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only true God. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ, meaning seek forgiveness. Because we are going to be doing sins, we are going to be forgetting sometimes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to return back to Him in every way, shape or form that we are able to, of course, through the guidance.
And subhanAllah, Shaykh, how Allah mentioned fa'alam first, you know, to have knowledge of it, the importance of knowledge. Like till this day, so many brothers and sisters get confused regarding the topic of Tawheed, or why certain preachers and teachers or certain maybe organizations and the likes push the concept of Tawheed so much. For this is the whole point and the reason. So you can go back, brothers and sisters, to the end of the last lesson which we had of the expiators, and we spoke about some of the virtues of that. Wallahi, yani, at the end of the day, and I always say this, that if we had, you know, a great score, if you'd like to say, on the concept or topic of Tawheed and the science of Tawheed, and we had, you know, a lower score on the other sciences, we're still going to be, inshallah, in a good position. Whereas if we have that zero on Tawheed, we go and commit that which negates the Tawheed and invalidates it and the likes, but we have perfected the sciences of the seerah and history, possibly tariq, and 1, 2, 3, we're going to be in probably not the best position. So it is very important, brothers, as the Sheikh said, how Allah Azza wa Jal says, fa'alam, first and foremost, we need to seek that knowledge. We need to know why and understand why and things like this. And even now with Ramadan, you see that, subhanAllah, many of those who don't come to the mosque, many of those who don't pray in the mosque, many of those who don't possibly even fast, and that if you ask them, Tayyib, what are the consequences of your actions, or what are the virtues of doing the actions which, you know, we should be doing, they won't have a clue. A lot of them. And that's one of the reasons they don't get motivated. And that's why every year we say, we've heard a lot of us the ahadith pertaining to fasting. So it doesn't matter, hear it again. Revive that in your heart, revive that in your life, and you get motivated through that.
Barakallah fik di Shaykh. Now, you remind me of Imam Bukhari's statement. Yeah. Al-ilmu qabla al-qawli wa al-amal.
Yeah, very important.
So it's very important to, you know, to start off with knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the knowledge of Islam in general. This is what will save us. And it reminds us of the three questions we'll be asked in our graves. Who is your Lord? What is your religion? And who is this man? But we do find, sadly, people not too, how can we say?
eager
not eager. You know, I wouldn't say interested. Yeah. They'll have some interest, but not as eager as they are. In they haven't got that hunger. And really, Ramadan is a mawsim, a season that, you know, all preachers, all brothers who are and sisters who are more, you know, alhamdulillah, attached to their deen should make the most of it and link the hearts of the people, the general folk, to La ilaha illallah, to knowing Allah, knowing His beautiful names and attributes. So this can sustain the general Muslim for the rest of the year. This is what is really needed. This is the food for the soul. This is the nourishment of the soul.
And when you look at it, Sheikh, as well, subhanAllah, the statement of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz regarding this, rahimahullah, man amila bila ilm kana ma afsad akthar mimma yuslih. So here, the one that does or acts without knowledge, that which he's going to corrupt is going to be more than that which he's going to fix. And you see that in the Muslims' lives today, when some people, they act without knowledge, they're only making the religion so much harder, and it's not hard. Allah Azza wa Jal intends ease, and Allah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to preach that yassiru wa la tu'assiru, make things easy, don't make it hard. But because of the ignorance, and like you said, Sheikh, the lack of eagerness to go out and learn and the likes, they do things in their life that make it hard on themselves and hard on others.
This requires, you're speaking about arrogance or eagerness this lacks humility, meaning understanding who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. There's only one element that one of the scholars mentioned, that you need to be humble. You need to humble yourself. That's why the beginning of the shahada is La ilaha illallah. You got to negate, you got to disassociate yourself from everything that can be called God or honored. Yani, you look at the sahaba. Yani, at the early stages of Mecca, for example, yani, they were tortured, persecuted. Yani, within minutes, yani, they entered Islam with words they heard from the Prophet ﷺ, and the iman rose. Like, why? Like, why? What's the difference between them and us? Yani, Bilal ibn Rabah and Khabbab ibn Arat and all those companions, yani, Bilal ibn Rabah, you know, he was asked by the later companions, how are you patient with the punishment and torture? And he said, "What? Mazajtu halawat al-iman ma'amarat al-adhab, faghalabat halawat al-iman." Meaning that I mixed the sweetness of iman. What sweetness of iman? And you want to taste the sweetness of iman? You have to humble yourself. You have to humble yourself towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he mixed the sweetness of iman with the bitterness of the punishment, and the sweetness of iman overcame and overrided the bitterness of the punishment. Meaning, yani, subhanAllah, this goes back to their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, humility comes from where? When we start praying. And the closer we are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in sujood, where the nose, you know, to the Arabs, the nose is considered the pride, you know, of people. Yani, even if you go, pull your nose is poor, when they greet each other, their nose touch. It's when the nose touches the ground, where the feet and the shoes of the people are, where the people step. The closer we are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when we are humiliated and humble. And once during the Khilafah of Umar Khattab radiallahu anhu, there was a king, one of the king of the Arabs. His name was Jibillah. He was doing tawaf around the Kaaba. It was during Hajj time. And one of the people walking past, he accidentally stepped on the garment of Jibillah. He's a king, one of the Arabs. He's as guards. One of his guards picked up his hand and whacked him across the face and broke his nose. So this man went to Umar Khattab radiallahu anhu to snitch on him, you can say, to take him to account. And he says, Jibillah, this king of the Arabs, he broke my nose. So Umar Khattab brought him. He says to him, you have two choices. You either seek his forgiveness or qisas, or he breaks your nose. And he says, I'm the king of the Arabs. How can this happen? He goes, this is Islam. In the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're equal. We're all servants to Allah. So what did he do? He goes to Umar Khattab, leave him for 3 days. He rode on his horse and he went all the way to the Roman Empire. He became a Christian and he left Islam. And after years went by, he says, I wish I broke my nose and I was patient and I swallowed my pride, you know, but the regret has no use, you know, when it's done. May Allah musta'an.
And something, Sheikh Subhanallah, you just mentioned regarding the reliance and the trust. We mentioned last lesson that, tying it back to the concept of Tawheed, that people think Tawheed is just one kind of thing, if you'd like to say. Rather, Tawheed has so many different aspects to it, from the trust and the reliance and the love and the fear and the hope and everything we've previously mentioned. For brothers and sisters, you know, take it seriously, because it is a serious topic, if you'd like to say, and inshallah, you know, take that initiation and study your religion, especially these topics.
So one of the greatest expiators is Tawheed, my dear brothers and sisters. It is the key to Jannah. It is the key to being protected from all the types of punishment, because in reality, without Tawheed, you're destined for hell eternally. If you have shirk, then you're in hell forever. The key to Jannah is La ilaha illallah, and it is the greatest reason for forgiveness. Sheikh, anything else
so
on this
next,
point?
Regarding this, inshallah, we'll close the door to that one, and we'll open up another one, which is the next topic, which is dua, supplication. And subhanallah, the dua can either be general or specific. It can be from yourself, for yourself, or for others, or from others. And this is a very, very important, actually, a topic, especially considering that we're in the month of Ramadan, where, you know, most of us, or a lot of us, are making more dua than we ever have or we ever do for the rest of the year. So we have just a few examples of how the dua supplication can be an expiation. One of them is something which is for a restricted time, which is regarding the dua of the assembly, pretty much, and the expiator of that which happened during an assembly or a sitting, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to make dua and say at the end of the gatherings, at the end of the assemblies, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. You know, such a short dua, but wallahi, it weighs very, very heavy. So he used to say that, oh Allah, glory and praise be to you. I testify that there is no deity except you. I ask you for forgiveness and I repent to you. So a man once came and, you know, as the hadith mentions, فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّكَ لَتَقُولُ قَوْلًا مَا كُنْتَ تَقُولُهُ فِي مَا مَضَى فَقَالَ كَفَارَةٌ لِمَا يَكُونُ فِي الْمَجْلِسِ. And there's a few different variations regarding this hadith, where a man, he stood and he said, O Messenger of Allah, you spoke words which you didn't used to speak in the past. And this is when, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this supplication at the end of the gathering. And you think about it, subhanallah, brothers and sisters, how many gatherings do we have daily, let alone weekly and monthly and yearly? And unfortunately, in many of those gatherings, there is that which contradicts the religion of Allah azza wa jal, that which angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which goes against the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the man said what he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is an expiation for what is done in the assembly. So subhanallah, that which happened in the assembly, inshaAllah ta'ala, if one was to seal that gathering with this dua, inshaAllah ta'ala, it will be an expiation for him. And we also have another narration regarding this concept of dua from others as well, where it's mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no Muslim who dies and a group of Muslims numbering 100 pray for him, all of them interceding for him, except that their intercession for him will be accepted. Now, this obviously goes into the shafa'ah and the likes, but what is really the prayer and the janazah prayer, except filled with supplications for those deceased Muslim brothers and sisters? And in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one of the versions, he said, there is no Muslim man who dies and 40 men pray the funeral prayer for him, not associating anything with Allah, except that Allah will accept their intercession for him. And subhanallah, as we said, what is the janazah prayer except for dua on the deceased? And there are other variations to this or versions of this narration. And lastly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is a beautiful hadith, and I call everybody to implement this hadith as soon as you can. And this actually hadith is for those who have grudges against others, for those who might be jealous of others and the likes. Some of the ulama advise to do what we're about to say now, in the hope that Allah azza wa jal removes what you have in your heart towards that person, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no Muslim servant supplicates, makes dua for his brother behind his back, except that the angel will say, and for you the same, walaka al-mithl, walaka bimithl, walaka al-mithl. So subhanallah, why did I say some of the ulama mentioned that if you have these grudges, because hopefully, when you behind that person who you are jealous of, or you have that grudge with, or 1, 2, 3, you make dua for him, as the Sheikh said, earlier regarding one of the biggest polluters of the heart and diseases and sicknesses of the heart, arrogance and pride. When you force yourself to say no, you know, I'm going to make dua for this person, you're literally breaking that ego, subhanAllah. And inshaAllah ta'ala, not only are you getting or benefiting with the angel saying Ameen and for you be the same, but also you're benefiting in other aspects by removing that which you may have in your heart against these people. So dua is a very important yani concept, and it is a very important expiator.
Very important point there, Sheikh, because I actually believe, and Sheikh Mahmoud can jump in here, that envy and jealousy is pretty much at the highest we've ever seen in our lifetimes anyway, due to social media and everyone just living their life online. Whether they're truly happy or not, it's another question. But this breeds jealousy. He has, I don't have, she did, I didn't do. So du'as like this, you know, really remove these types, or can remove, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, these types of diseases, yeah, Sheikh Mahmoud, isn't it?
Of course. Going back to Tawheed, yani understanding what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for you.
He's the giver.
He's the giver. And being content. Where do you want to go? Yani how powerful can you go without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power? Yani all this envy and jealousy and grudge that people hover in their hearts is for. And subhanAllah, and the scholars, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, these are satanic sins. They are not human sins. Humans are not made to be jealous and not made to be holding grudges. That's from the shaitan. Secondly, subhanAllah, a person will be never happy unless they are content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for them. And a person, when they think everything as a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, it's the cheapest thing they have or whatever they have, it is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we look at dunya wise, we look at the lower people below us. And when we look at the deen, we look at the people above us so we can compete with them. And we don't look at things as materialistic. Because you buy the first car that's 2024, next year it's going to be an old car. There's always going to be mistakes. This dunya is not perfect. Everything in it is not made perfect. It has a time it's going to start, and it has a time it's going to end, and it's going to die out. Nothing is going to be perfect except, of course, paradise and the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, we need to go back and recheck our hearts first. Cleansing from sins. And his sins bring grudge, bring the black dots from the shaitan, and darken the hearts. And we say, why isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answering my dua? Why isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responding? Why isn't there mercy? Why is my family this? Why is my family that? Habib, go back to yourself. Go check your obligations with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to connect and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the problem is, how many people worship Allah, make dua, and they think they've done a favor to Allah? Yani, مثلا, I made dua, طيب, what next? Why isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answering my dua? I prayed yesterday, tarawih. I recited Quran yesterday. This is the difference between us and the Sahaba. The Sahaba, they worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deserving of worship. That's the first thing. Second thing, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not because for a need. We don't only go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we need something from Allah. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show us wonders. Wonders that we've never seen in our lives. Yani the Sahaba were in Mecca and they made dua, but they were sincere and they trusted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until when they reached, yani even Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, during the Khilafah of Umar al-Khattab, when Umar al-Khattab placed him as a governor of Medina, he was wiping his nose with the fabric cloth. And he started laughing at himself. He's like, Abu Huraira, the one that was starving in the streets of Mecca, now that was tying up stones with the Prophet ﷺ. Now, you know, I'm blowing my nose with a piece of fabric. They were even shocked from themselves and how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has of blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a special blessing for every single person. Never, ever, ever lose your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we have to be patient. Many of us are impatient. We are impatient. I want this, I want this, I want that. Tayyib, what have you left for Jannah? Tayyib, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't provide this for you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared something better for you in Jannah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this world is worth nothing. Yani, why do we have to fight over it? Why do we have to cling on to it and our hearts attached to it. Wallahi, yani, sometimes you see you have everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you health, wealth, and a car, a house, family. Then what else do you want? You know, sometimes we turn a blind eye on the blessings that we have around us.
That's the problem right there.
And look at the blessing of others.
Contentment is very important. And really, we have a lot to thank Allah for. Instead of looking at what everyone else has, tying it to the point you mentioned at the end, Sheikh, let's look at what we have. Be content with what we have. You know, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to enumerate the blessings of Allah upon you, you would never be able to. Even while you're looking at everybody else, what they have because of social media and WhatsApp and Instagram and all this other stuff, why don't you thank Allah for what you have, try to eliminate the envy, and do the dua which the Sheikh recommended, which can be an expiator for you. Sheikh, maybe we'll finish with this point. What's prescribed to say when you see someone who may have something, maybe a nice car, as Sheikh Mahmoud mentioned, he's wealthy, you know, Allah has blessed him. What do we say? Allahumma barik lah. What do we say? What's something that we can, a dua we can make, a practical dua we can make? Because there is a lot of tradition in this where people say stuff which is not really linked to what he's trying to do or say.
So obviously, a very important point linked to that, Sheikh, which maybe I'm not sure if it's been discussed this Ramadan, but maybe it can be discussed towards the end of Ramadan, is the eye, which is what we regularly or generally know as the evil eye, is true. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us something that can protect both ourselves for that, because many of the ulama, they did say that one can give the eye to himself, to his to his wife, to his children, to his family, and the likes. But the point is that no doubt about it, the one that sees something that entices him that his brother has and the likes, is to make dua for barakah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for him in that thing. And some people, they limit with just Allahumma barik, but no doubt it's better to add to that, because Allahumma barik means may Allah bless. Of course, it's better to say may Allah bless him with this or in this or things like this. So regarding that as well, Sheikh, I just wanted to add something which the Sheikh said beautifully regarding the dua and how some people, they rush too much and the likes. Remember the statement which has been attributed to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and others, that he says لا أحمل هم الإجابة وإنما أحمل هم الدعاء. That's it. All we're to worry about is, inshallah, Allah guiding us to actually making the dua. As for the answer is coming and it's going to come, and that's certain.
Do your job, leave the rest for Allah.
That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, ud'u Allah wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba. Make dua to Allah and be certain he's going to answer. But the problem with a lot of us is we think the answer has to be exactly what we want, the
instant,
way we want it, how
quick,
we want it.
Right now.
And more than instant, Sheikh, is the way we want it has to happen the exact way we intend it and we want it. And if it doesn't, then, the dua hasn't been answered.
The Uber generation, or the Utlub generation.
That's right, Talabat.
Talabat. And Utlub is Egypt. Talabat is Kuwait, is it?
I was giving you the Kuwait.
Mahmoud, what's in Saudi?
I think it's Karim. It is Talabat.
Yeah, Talabat as well, huh? I think there's Hunger Station and there's a few others as well in Saudi. I didn't use too much, but I used a few nights. Anyway, so regarding that, Sheikh, I was saying that, some people, they think that, I made dua for something. If I don't get, forget just when it gets answered, but if I don't get that exact thing, then my dua wasn't answered. But we know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that when you make dua, three things can happen. And let's just say the third thing, for example, apart from the second, which Allah storing it for you on the day of resurrection, the third thing is Allah may remove or repel a evil similar to that of what you asked for. For you might not necessarily get what you wanted, the way you wanted it, how you wanted it, with the amount you wanted, etc., etc., etc. It could be that you didn't realize, but Allah Azza wa Jal, because of the dua you made, repelled evil away from you, your family, your beasts, your rides, all of these things, because of the dua you made. For subhanAllah, it is a very important concept. I think we've mentioned like 10 topics in the last hour that I'm saying we got to put separate topics for, sir.
It's a discussion in the end. Alhamdulillah, we covered what we wanted to cover. Yes, we will.
Inshallah ta'ala.
Which brings us to the end of tonight's program. Any final comments, Sheikh Khalid?
Jazakumullahu khaira. As we said, I think it was on the 10th night, Sheikh, when I was here, and I mentioned that we were saying how we're a third through Ramadan, and then I was mentioning that if Allah gives us the life and health, we'll be, he's saying, after just a few days that we're halfway. And look, subhanAllah, how we are sitting here today from last week when we said, if Allah gives us the life, the health, etc., and allows us to be here, we're going to be saying in just a few days we're halfway through. And now we're saying that we're halfway through, brothers and sisters, in a few days as well. Once again, if Allah gives us the life and the health, health, we're going to be saying we're 2/3 through. Then we're going to be talking about the last 10 nights. Then we're going to be probably doing a podcast, if Allah wills, about
post-Ramadan reflections. Yeah.
What after Ramadan? And then 1,000 other things, subhanAllah. Utilize the time, brothers and sisters. We already said the last 10 nights are obviously better than the first 20. So inshallah, plan properly. Don't exhaust yourself. Plan for those last 10, even if you didn't have that start that you wanted, if you had like a false start, then inshallah ta'ala, go hard. You like that one, Shah?
Yeah, it's a good one. We've mentioned it before, a few false starts. We had a few false starts on the program.
قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. فَلَرْنْ فَمْ يُوَرْ إِكْسْبِرِيَنْسِزْ أَنْ لَرْنْ فَمْ دَ إِكْسْبِرِيَنْسِزْ أَبْ أَذَرْزْ. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ.
Sheikh Mahmoud, final words.
One more advice. فضل. Never ever think or never fall into the trap of thinking you've done enough. يعني, never ever fall into that trap that you've done enough or you've recited the Quran, you've done enough. The Sahaba, they kept on worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until their last breath. And the Prophet and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. يعني worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until death meets you. يعني, never ever think you've done enough. خلاص, I sit back and relax, I'll do it later. Because later might not come. يعني, now we're at the second half of Ramadan, inshallah. The Prophet used to tighten up his waist belt. He used to roll up his sleeves. Get preparing to make the most of what is left of Ramadan. Because the first of Ramadan, we're still getting used to the hunger, we're still getting used to the fasting. Okay, we're not focusing in our ibadat. Now, khalas, you know, it's enough.
The plan set, that's it. Yani, you should khalas, have established, you know,
we're used to it, we've trained our bodies. Yalla. So if you're falling short, now it's a time to fix up what we've missed. And it's still not late yet. Yani, make the most of it, inshallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place the barakah. Yani, in our lives and in our families, in our wealth, in everything that we do in our lives, inshallah.
Barakallah fiq, Sheikh Mahmoud, Sheikh Khaled, as always, Jazakallah khaira. And all the listeners, announcement from Tuesday, the 26th of March, Al Bayan Radio will be on 107.9 FM in Sydney for the rest of the month, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, in Sydney on 107.9 FM from Tuesday, the 26th of March until the day of Eid or the end of Ramadan, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So spread the word. For those out of Sydney, please continue tuning into Al Bayan Radio on the Al Bayan Radio app. And also, I'd like to remind our brothers not to forget your brothers and sisters in your dua, those in Gaza, Palestine, Sham, and wherever they may be around the world. Make dua for them and appreciate the blessings that you have. They're going through a very tough time at the moment. So make dua for them, for Allah to give them aid and victory and to destroy their enemies. And also, thank Allah for the blessings you have. They're going through so many things at the moment where the basics they don't have, and you have them, and you have more than the basics. So make dua for them, raise awareness of them. You get closer to Allah and defend your brothers and sisters in any way, shape or form that you can. Barakallah feekum, and until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.